Blog Talk Radio.
I could draw. Oh, come on, crank it up, crank it up, crank it up.
Stay ready.
Crank up that diesel.
Time is now. Rob, I never get sick of that, man. The time is now. If you didn't know, now you know. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robin Ford. Today is Wednesday, September the 10th, and we are ready to talk some sports. Without further ado,
power-packed sports show tonight, people.
We got a lot of things to talk about. Very excited to introduce my co-host, had a rough last Sunday, but, you know, we knew that was going to come up. But anyway, Mr. Robert Ford, as always, how are you doing, Mr. Robert Ford? You doing all right?
Doing great. He's starting off talking a little trash, but, of course, I'm going to go ahead and start the show off by, as painful and hurtful as this is to say, I got to go ahead and congratulate you and the Atlanta Falcons and beating my New Orleans Saints. As painful as it is to say, I have to say I was thoroughly impressed with the Atlanta Falcons offensively. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Falcons as we get into the show. And we got a prediction a little bit later with the Falcons going against Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. But, of course, you know, I give credit where credit is due. And I offer my congratulations to you and your fellow Atlanta Falcon fans.
You know, I think it's a big man to say that. A lot of times one thing that we always want to talk about is the fact that it's been interesting because I got to be honest, man. Whenever you guys won the coin toss, we weren't really stopping anybody. No offenses were getting stopped, so that was kind of a scary scenario too. So didn't know how that was going to turn out. So we got pretty lucky there, and just a great game. You know, it was a 3-point win. You know, so either team could have won. I know Rob goes a little ham on his personal Facebook page, so it was good to get the win. But
I have to say y'all shut me up at least for a little while.
So good game by both teams. Either team could have pulled out the win, but we got fortunate to pull it out. And like I said, it's just well played game. And like you said, it was good. I'm just happy we were able to keep up with you guys. And like you said, we'll talk about it a little bit later. But without further ado, America, we always want to throw out our show numbers if you want to add a little bit more to the fray here. If you want to comment on anything past week, and if you're on my Falcon fans, rise up. That's right. Number to call on the show, 424-243-9519. That is our official number if you want to call and add your thoughts. We're also available via Twitter. If you want to follow us via Twitter, all you got to do is go to the number 12, MAN Sports, that's our Twitter handle. And obviously, we're also on Facebook if you want to follow us. I know we do like a lot of great updates throughout the week and whatnot. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in talking sports with the 12th man, you will find a nice, handsome picture of myself, maybe Rob. But anyway, that's how we always kick it off without further ado. Man, we've got a lot of things to talk about, Rob. Obviously, what's top of mind, Rob, is the whole Ray Rice scenario, that Ray Rice situation. And I know we'll talk about this, some ramifications about this. This is going to affect Roger Goodell. And I know it's kind of one of the situations, Rob, it's just tough. I am always going to side with, you know, you should never hit a female. I don't care what scenario, too. It's just a bad scenario. Ray Rice obviously got what was deserved. But I don't know if you want to comment on the situation and obviously how it's going to affect Roger Goodell and other things about women boycotting the NFL. So let's get your thoughts on this scenario as well, too.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's a very sad situation, very sad story, of course. And obviously, I totally agree with you. Male should definitely never hit a female. Obviously, there had to be some form of punishment that's issued to Ray Rice. And obviously there's still some concern for Ray Rice and his family, and hopes that he gets the, you know, the proper help, and you know, and you know, let God's will be done in regards to their relationship. And but obviously there had to be some form of punishment in this situation, and you know, and rightfully so. It just you just hate to see that, and but obviously there had to be some form of punishment that had to be taking place.
Wow, yeah, that was pretty brief. I thought you had more to talk about, but no, it's just you know, definitely it's affected, and I'm sure there's some people out there, Rob, that have said that this is going to affect Roger Goodell. Do you think he can step down? And I know that you're not the hugest fan of Goodell. You know, whether or not you know, the Shield has taken a hit, you know, and everything regarding this. And you think this is enough to kind of cause some pause for him to get moved? Should he step down, you think? I mean, I know you're not a fan of him because of what happened with Bountygate, but it just doesn't look good right now. Especially whenever the NFL talked about they didn't have access to that tape. Whenever I'm sure they have a lot more access than we can imagine. So this is kind of a tough scenario for Roger Goodell for sure, Rob.
Well, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Obviously, anybody that's listened to the show for the last 2 or 3 years know that I'm not the biggest fan of you know, Roger Goodell.
You're not,
you
Rob?
Know, I've even. And you know I've had some choice words and things of that nature, and it's not just in regards to Bountygate. A lot of people think it may be just because of that, and that the way that situation was handled was a debacle, and you know, and obviously, you know, some Saints players wind up getting the last laugh in the end in that regards. Fortunately, the coaches didn't, but the players did. But you know, and I just think this the way he's handled a lot of situations since he's been commissioner has been just been a total debacle. And I still believe that he's been one of the worst commissioners in professional sports. And the NFL is a game. It's obviously the most popular sport in America. And so, I mean, you and I can be the commissioner in the NFL, and it will succeed. I mean, that's just, you know, I know a lot of people are going to give him some credit, but I just think the NFL is just a popular game with fantasy football and the popularity of the game. I mean, hey, my team lost on Sunday, and I still watch football all the rest of Sunday and all of Monday night. I mean, that just shows you the popularity of the game.
Yeah.
And, So I think in spite of him, the league is successful. But I think he's made a lot of bad decisions, and he's rushed to some conclusions, you know, over the last few years since he's been commissioner. And I don't think he's as good as Tagliabue. I don't think he's as good a commissioner as the NBA has had with David Stern. And I'll even go as far as to say the new commissioner in the NBA, Adam Silver, is already better than Roger Goodell. That's just my opinion. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people calling for his head. And even though I don't like Goodell and I don't think he's been a great commissioner, I'm still undecided on whether or not he should be fired. Should he be suspended? I'm going to say a resounding yes. And I think he should be suspended at least a year. As a result of the situation here.
Some strong words from Rob Ford, man. He is not pulling any punches, Rob, man. You know, some interesting thoughts in that vantage point. Already called out Adam Silver better than Goodell. You know, and granted, you know, I definitely agree with you in certain aspects in the fact that he hasn't been the best commissioner. The NFL seems to rob be judge, court, and jury. They seem to have everything all within one. And I think you want to have some type of balance of power and something to, you know, kind of have another person kind of bounce things off of, too, in this instance, too. But, you know, right now, you know, in spite of what Roger Goodell is trying to do to kind of mess it up, we're still going to watch football. That's the thing that we have going for us. But there's certain things that he can do to make it, to take it to the next level, to continue to protect the players, to Rob, to protect the product, which is what everything is all about. And, you know, I don't think he's been the strongest in that instance, to say the least, too. So good call on that. Do you think that women should boycott NFL this weekend? Do you think that's enough to kind of make Roger Goodell kind of do something about this? Or what are your thoughts about that particular question?
Well, I think women should. I don't think they will. I mean, I think they're going to call for Goodell's head. And already the president of the National Women's Rights, she's already calling for Goodell to be fired. I know one NFL owner, he hasn't stated his name. He said this proves to be true that the NFL did have this video back in April. He said owners will not back Goodell behind this. And So that owner is not saying his name, but he has come out just tonight and said that the NFL has evidence that they've had this video since April, then they will not back Roger Goodell on this instance. And so I don't know who this owner is. He's anonymous at the time. So we'll have to wait and play this thing out. But I tell you what, this story has definitely brought the NFL to its knees.
And they win, but we'll find out. Robert, I'm sorry. Jerry Jones, sorry. Here, I'm out. Anyway, moving right along. Let's talk about the next thing here. Let's keep it moving here. I don't know if that was Jerry Jones or not. Let's talk about some week two predictions, man. I got to tell you, I think we were all starving for football, and what a great first week. Some interesting games. If you were at a suicide pool, I'm sure you were sweating a little bit in Jacksonville. If you did have a suicide pool and you picked New England, wow, that's a tough start as well, too. So let's jump right into it. The Dolphins are actually – the surprise Dolphins, actually, who upseeded the New England Patriots, they're going to make their way up to Buffalo. And Buffalo had a pretty good win as well, too. So what do you think wins pulled out this particular scenario whenever the Dolphins travel up to see Buffalo, Rob?
I tell you what, out of these three games that are listed here, these are the only games of the weekend where all the teams are 1-0. Going head-to-head, and so there's only three matchups of teams 1-0 going head-to-head. So this is the reason why these games were picked. But out of the three games, this was the hardest one for me to pick. If you recall, on last week on our prediction show, I actually picked the Dolphins to make the playoffs this year. That was one of the teams that I thought was going to make a nice leap this year. And I also stated that I think they can give New England a run for their money in the division. I still think New England's going to win that division, but I think Miami will be in second, and I think they'll make a wild card this season as well. So I do think that Miami team is a playoff team. That being said, I was impressed with Buffalo this past weekend as well, going on the road and winning in Chicago. So it's making this game kind of tough to predict, but I'm going to say Buffalo ekes out a close game at home this weekend. I still like Miami to be in second place in this division, but I like Buffalo to eke out a close one in this ball game on Sunday. I think Buffalo's defense can slow Miami down a little bit with their defensive line and pass rush. I think E.J. Manuel does just enough to win this game.
Very nice. I was actually pretty impressed with the Dolphins. They played came in as an underdog, and they pretty much did a good job of handling Tom Brady and that pretty, obviously Tom Brady only has Gronkowski right now to throw to, if you want to call Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola some targets. But the Dolphins did a good job. They were definitely ready to play, Rob. I think they're going to have a surprise for the Bills, man. I think they're going to pull off that particular win, man, only because, I'm kind of curious to see how the Bills evolve, if you will. But that's my prediction. I just wanted to be a little different here in that particular instance, too. But whatever team pulls out, I think it's going to be close no matter what. So, you would love to go with Buffalo for that home field advantage. But we'll keep an eye on that game, like we always say. Let's talk about the next game that you picked, Atlanta at Cincinnati. I'm going to go ahead and let you call it first because I guess you're going to figure out where I'm leaning, but what are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Well, obviously, I have to say I was thoroughly impressed with the Atlanta Falcons and their quartet of wide receivers, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Harry Douglas, and Devin Hester, and the way Matt Ryan distributed the football, as well as the way they mix and match their running backs, even the rookie tight end as well. And the offensive line did a phenomenal job. And so, obviously, I think if the Falcons' offensive line continue to play at that level, I think they're going to be tough to stop offensively. I think the Bengals are going to present a little stiffer challenge for them defensively than what the Saints gave them this past Sunday. And with the Bengals being at home, I like the Bengals to win this one in the close game. I think they'll slow the Falcons down just a little bit. I think you're looking at like a 30-27 victory for the Bengals here in this game.
I like the analysis right there. A lot of love for you to Brandon Cooks. That dude's going to be a player, man. I'm very impressed with him. He was tough to stop already. But I think we were impressed with our offense too, because at first we didn't know what we had, and if you give Matt Ryan some time, you saw the results right there. I think we have a little better offense than the Bengals. The question is, you know, as you talk about defensively, it is a stiffer challenge. I think we'll be ready to go because the Bengals were one thing that we matched up against last year during the Bengals' hard knocks, and there's a lot of talk about that whole thing about us not being tough, and the whole softness came into play during that hard knock. So I think we're going to have something to prove for the Bengals. And I think we're going to turn it around and pull it off, too. So that's my predictions on that, too, if you will. And, you know, I'm not going to go opposite all of Robin this time, but, you know, we'll see how it goes that particular game.
That's okay.
Final game. This is, I got to tell you, man, the Detroit Lions looked pretty unstoppable. Calvin Johnson, man, you talk about just a specimen at wide receiver, man. Great, great game. Reggie Bush, they got a lot of weapons there. They finally have somebody opposite Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate. And they made it interesting, but, you know, they pretty much manhandled the Giants. And the Giants, of course, Rob, they have the new offense. They've been struggling, so I don't know if this is a good thing. But this is going to be a great matchup, Rob, because Carolina's got a pretty good defense. And you hear that Cam Newton is very excited to come back. Who would have thought that Derek Anderson would have come and led the Panthers to a victory? But that's exactly what he did. So what do you think about the Panthers' chances in this particular example against a very, very explosive offense in the Detroit Lions?
Well, I think a lot of people forget that Derek Anderson at one time has had success as a starting quarterback in his league. And one time he led Cleveland Browns to a 10-6 record as a starting QB. I think in the pinch he's definitely capable, and so that's not totally surprising. I think I was really impressed with Carolina's defense for the most part in that game against Tampa Bay, and so it's going to be an intriguing matchup with Carolina's defense against Detroit's offense. I think Cam Newton coming back this Sunday, I think Carolina's going to play a little bit more ball control, try to keep Detroit off the field. And I hate to pick all the home teams in these three games, but I do like the home teams in this matchups. But I like all the games to be close. I'm talking 3 points. I like Carolina to win this game like 23-20 to win this game at home in the real tight game to hold off Detroit.
Should be close. If they can run the ball, Rob, they have a chance to pull this off too. You're dealing with a pretty explosive offense with the Lions, but they've had defense win championships. So if the like we talked about, we'll see how that continues to expand here. But let's move forward here. We're kind of at a good halfway point in the game. I can throw out some numbers here. If you definitely want to call into the show, give us your thoughts. We've got about 11 minutes or so left in the show. Don't forget to call us that number. Write it down, 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. So let's get some fantasy shout-outs. Rob, we had our first week of fantasy football as well. I'll let you go ahead and do some shout-outs for our fantasy listeners as well and our players.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we certainly appreciate all of our players for competing with us again this year. This year we have three leagues, so every year we seem to grow with the number of competitors. And hopefully we keep growing and keep growing, of course, and we certainly appreciate you all for tuning in and competing with us. I'm going to go over league number one, 12-man sports league number one. I'm basically just going to give shout-outs to the teams that are in first place and the teams that had the biggest win here in week one. In league number one, first-place team, Orlando's team, was actually, happens to be my brother. Got a big win from Tucson, Arizona, 154.10 win over Eagles Chicks for Life, 154.10 to 123.46. He's holding down a first-place spot in that league. And also K-City Lion, Lions fan living in Atlanta, got a big win over Gentilly Hot Sausage. He had the biggest win of the week in week one, 179.2 to 148.24. Shout out to him as well. And our league number two, as these are both free leagues here, our first place leader right now is New Glasses from Indianapolis, 180.5 over the Pellies, 152.14. He is a leader in the league number two. And the biggest win is L's Astounding Team right here from the New Orleans area, 164.44 over Saints Pelicans, 95.96. And in our paid league, of course, you know, this is the league where we give a $300 prize to the winner and a $60 prize to the team in second place. Our team is holding down a first place spot at the moment is Hot Rod's team. Roderick, they're living in the Atlanta area, 141.46. Actually beat my team, Beast Mode, 117.42. So obviously I got to bounce back here. And the team with the biggest victory, winning, up from Bristol, Connecticut, he beat NOLA for Life, 154.42 to 95.26. So those are our fantasy shout-outs in our three leagues. And it's going to be fun. We got a lot more football yet to be played. So let's keep competing and let the best team win.
Yeah, it's early. You know, we always like to – I like to kind of sit back and see what happens that first week. So, you know, just be prepared for all my future competitors. So it's going to be a long season, and especially for all leagues, we're ready to talk some bragging rights. So let's kick it off, as always. I know where you live. I'm just joking. All right. 7 minutes, Rob. Let's, you know, I know we've been kind of like jumping over a lot of different things, but another controversy. I'm not really a fan of this one, so I'm actually kind of tired of hearing about this, but the Atlanta Hawks controversy, they are probably happy about Ray Rice because it's taken a little bit off of them nationally, but if you didn't heard, Bruce Levinson sold a stake in the team. But another thing that was also part of this is the fact that there was a huge revealing letter that kind of talked about his thoughts and feelings about, you know, kind of a racially insensitive letter where he was talking about certain things and how there's not enough certain types of people that he wants to see in representation as far as music and whatnot, too. So this is a pretty big deal. I do want to ask you a question, Rob. Do you think that this is going to tarnish Danny Ferry's legacy, and do you think that he should step down, or what do you think this is going to how this is going to affect the Hawks for the future?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think you know money talks as far as free agents are concerned. The Hawks obviously re-signed Elton Brand to a one-year deal, so I don't think this situation stopped him from signing with the Hawks. And you know, I think money still talks. So I don't think they're going to have a problem getting free agents if a free agent wants to play with them. So, I mean, that going forward, you know, the situation with Danny Ferry is a real interesting one. I don't personally my gut feeling is with Danny Ferry, I don't really think he was saying it to be racially insensitive. I think he was just making the point. But obviously he still can't say it. So my personal opinion is I don't think he should be fired, but I definitely think a suspension should be in place for this situation. I think some form of a suspension should be in place for Danny Ferry. I don't know if that should be a half a season. That's just kind of what I'm thinking, somewhere around those lines. What it looks like the Hawks are offering some kind of penalty. They're not saying what that penalty is going to be levied against the Atlanta Hawks. But my guess is he should be suspended, in my opinion, at least half a season.
Wow. Yeah, just not a – like I said, I'm kind of sick of talking about this too because I really think somewhere – I can't prove this, Rob, but I think that Levinson is really just not happy with Ferry, and he kind of like maybe trying to sabotage. But, you know, obviously
– absolutely.
He wrote the letter, and he has to definitely stick by that. And it's just a weird situation, and, you know, obviously to kind of – you know, if you're a Hawks fan, you know, you're monitoring that, you know, because Danny Ferry has actually been one of the better GMs because he's been able to get away with a lot of contracts I didn't think was ever going to happen, getting rid of Joe, finding a taker for that. Same thing for Marvin Williams. He's been able to do a great job of getting rid of some contracts and even bringing in a coach like Mike Budenholzer, and we want to become the Spurs of the West. So it's always a good scenario to see that too. But, you know,
yeah.
it is a work in progress like we talked about. You know, I do think there's going to be some ramifications. You know, I hope we don't fire, but maybe if he gets suspended, that'll be good to see that.
And here's my take on this, too, just real briefly before we move on. My personal opinion is I don't think Danny Ferry is a racist. Whereas the owner, Donald Sterling, the former owner of the Clippers, I believe he is a racist. And but I just think Danny Ferry made a mistake here with his comments. But I don't get the feeling that he's a racist. That's just my opinion. Obviously, Ferry went to Duke. Lou Aldean went to Duke. So I think probably have some form of connection. I don't think a lot of people are talking about that connection there. So, I mean, I don't personally think he really meant any harm. He just had a bad choice of words. That's just my personal gut. I could be wrong. But that's my gut feeling on that situation.
Good call. Yeah, we got about 2 minutes and 50 something seconds left before we head out to the OT. Let's talk about Team USA. Rob, so they're just moving right along. They're going to play Lithuania in the semis for tomorrow. So tell me about your thoughts about this about the Team USA.
Well, they're playing well. I think they got a good blend here. You know, this team doesn't have LeBron James. It doesn't have Kevin Durant. It doesn't have some of the elite players. It doesn't have a Chris Paul. But they still have a good blend of young talent. The point guard mixture of Kyrie Irving and Derrick Rose is getting the job done. They got just the right amount of snipers on the team, the three-point shooters, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson is shooting the ball really well. They got some good slashers in James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, and Anthony Davis. Kenneth Faried and DeMarcus Cousins are having a phenomenal tournament in the post. And so they have a nice win over Slovenia. I expect them to beat Lithuania on tomorrow. In their stiffest competition, France upset Spain today. Boris Diaw won an incredible game. France, they beat Spain by 13 points. So France is going to play Serbia in the other semifinal game. I like the USA. I think Spain was their stiffest competition, and they've been eliminated. So I expect the USA to roll.
Yeah, they're sending thank you numbers. I think U.S. is sending thank you letters right now to France, and you know, if that update. That's okay. we officially got about a minute, 15 seconds. Can you go ahead and set up the OT portion of the show? Rob is ready to continue on, but we just got to go to the OT real quick.
Absolutely. Our college football fans, that's what we're going to be talking about in our OT portion. So we can't give you this live, unfortunately. We hate that we can't. But please tune in. Click on the same link on tomorrow, anytime tomorrow. Tomorrow morning while you're cooking breakfast, getting ready for work, on your lunch break, click on this link. Listen to our college football predictions. We're going to talk some Big 12 and Big 10 to see what their problems they're having. We're going to talk a little Georgia and South Carolina. So definitely tune in to this portion. And then also next week, we do expect to be back on our regularly scheduled program next Tuesday night. We expect to be back at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. So definitely join us on next Tuesday for our regularly live scheduled portion as well.
Thank you so much, Robert. As always, man, 10 seconds in. So let's go ahead and we are going to go to the OT portion. Shout out to all of our fantasy football players. We'll see you next week, and we're going to knock it out. So we are officially, Rob, into the OT portion. And you nailed it right on the head, college football time. And I guess let's kind of talk about what's wrong with the Big 12, Rob, and the Big 10 right now. You know, obviously, you know, Virginia Tech came in there, Rob, and just, laid a whooping on Ohio State. What's going on with both the Big 12 and the Big 10, Rob? And obviously Oregon, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
When you're talking about the Big 12 here, and is it outside of Baylor and Oklahoma, is saving the conference right now. So other than Baylor and Oklahoma, you know, Texas Tech is struggling. Texas just got hammered by BYU once again. And BYU and Oklahoma is saving the conference right now. Obviously, Oklahoma State had a tough loss to Florida State. West Virginia, a tough loss to Alabama. But outside of Baylor and Oklahoma, the Big 12 is struggling right now. And until those guys in Austin get their act together, it's going to be tough for the Texas, for the Big 12 conference to get their rankings back up. The Big 10, of course, Ohio State losing, Michigan State both losing. Penn State, of course, is still recovering. And so both of these conferences are really down. As far as the Big Five power conferences are concerned, they have to be near the bottom when you talk about the Big Five and the Big Ten and the Big 12. In my opinion, they're both reeling. Oklahoma's, showing some signs of life.
Yeah, like you said, just to make a quick comment regarding Texas too, Rob. I think Charlie Strong kind of gave us a warning about that because he went in there and he kind of evaluated the talent and realized that Mack Brown left a lot to be desired and left that cover bare, man. So, you know, I don't know if he was trying to psychologically get those guys to say, hey, you know, this is one of the first years that they didn't have a top player drafted, which is almost unheard of for Texas with all that talent within that state. And, you know, it's just a tough thing. But, you know, you talked about some two big wins. You know, obviously with Michigan State, that was a well-played game until it kind of got away from them later on. It's going to be interesting as we see certain things develop, too. And we'll talk more about some things within the Big Ten. And I guess you want to give an update real quick about Penn State, too, Rob, as we kind of transition?
Penn State, of course, probation has been removed immediately, so
yeah.
They're eligible to play in a bowl game as soon as this season. So, obviously, I think that's a good move by the NCAA because these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids had nothing to do what happened during the Joe Pye era and the Sandusky and all of that. And so I don't think it's fair to penalize these kids. And so I think the NCAA made the right move. They penalized Penn State enough. They fined the school $60 million. And they're getting their scholarships back. So James Franklin will have a full set of 25 scholarships to offer on next year. So, you know, give it a few years, I think Penn State could be back contending, in which it's becoming a very weak and poor Big Ten.
Yeah, Franklin, man, like you said, a great recruiter. So we'll see how long it takes him to kind of put his stamp on that program, too. So, you know, Ohio State, Urban Meyer may have something to contend with, too. But good stuff. Let's talk about Oregon, Rob. And you talk about we always say that defense wins championships. And going into that game, I thought it was going to be a little closer. I picked Michigan State. And we thought that, you know, you picked Oregon because it was a home field advantage, but, you know, exactly what happened and that Oregon kind of pulled away. Do they have enough ammunition? Is there enough to actually allow them to win the national championship? Are they even in that consideration? Or, as we talked about, I know we have some love for Florida State, but what are your thoughts about Oregon after their performance versus Michigan State?
Well, I'll tell you what, looking at that game in the first half, I thought Marcus Mariota, he struggled a little bit the first half, but I thought in the second half he really woke up and played extremely well. And that Oregon team I saw in the second half is definitely capable of winning the national championship. I know you're not a big fan of Oklahoma and Bob Stoops, but I like the way they're playing as well. And the question is, can Oregon win? And I'm going to say yes, they definitely can. And I think, in my personal opinion, I think the teams that have played the best so far, that have played two games, I like Oregon, I like Oklahoma, I actually like Auburn too. I haven't been that impressed with the way Alabama has played so far this year. Even though Georgia has only played one game, I've been impressed with them as well. So obviously I want to see a little bit more out of them. But out of the teams that have played two games, I like Oklahoma, I like Auburn, and I like Oregon. So I would have to say Oregon is definitely in the mix.
Nice. Good analysis too, Rob. Let's talk about we've got a big game if you're Georgia versus South Carolina, and I know all of my Georgia fans, they're sweating. They're happy with the win over Clemson, but in the back of their minds, this is the game that they're most scared of right about now because it's right out the gate. South Carolina, it seems like Steve Spurrier always seems to have something special for the Georgia Bulldogs. And the question that you posed is that, will Hudson Mason have to have a monster game against South Carolina? You knew that it was an awesome game for Todd Gurley, Rob. This was his coming out party. I think South Carolina is going to literally stack the box and make Hudson Mason beat them. So do you think, you know, he's a senior, you know, and I don't think he's going to be rattled as much because he's got that. But do you think that he does have to have a huge game for Georgia to pull off this particular win?
I think he will have a big game. I don't think he has to for them to win, but I think he will have a – I think this will be his coming out party this weekend. I think the South Carolina defense is very porous. Texas A&M ate it alive. East Carolina gave them all they can handle this past weekend as well. They moved the ball up and down the field on them. And I don't think Georgia is going to have any trouble in this game. I think Hudson Mason's having a solid game, and I obviously think they'll be able to run the ball as well. I like Georgia in this game, even though the South Carolina's played them well. This South Carolina defense just looks porous. They look very weak compared to the way they've looked defensively the last few years. Obviously, you lose an impact player like Javon Clowney and a few others, and it's not the same South Carolina team. I like Georgia in this game by at least two touchdowns.
Good call. I love it. Let's talk about the next team. And you got to remember, I'm not just, like, always hating on certain teams. I hate on certain teams. There's a reason behind why I do that. It's the same thing like we talk about whenever we talk about the certain quarterbacks I don't trust. I don't trust Jay Cutler. I don't trust Tony Romo. It's just something about that. Same thing. You know, Bob Stoops, I give him credit. They did a phenomenal job beating Alabama earlier last year, but you know, this is a new season, and now they have to run into Tennessee, who are still rebuilding, if you will. But do you think Tennessee has enough to actually pull off this particular upset? This will be a huge, huge upset if Tennessee's able to pull this off.
I don't think Tennessee's got a chance. I like Oklahoma by at least three touchdowns in this one. I like them by at least 21 points. I don't think Tennessee is there yet with the program and the rebuilding. I think Butch Jones is doing a solid job getting them in that direction, but they're not there yet. I like Oklahoma at home convincingly.
Only by three touchdowns, huh? That's all you got?
Only.
I know we had some predictions here. We already set the stage for that. It seemed like it cut off that first one, so if you want to talk about anything else you want to talk about, Rob, that's cool before we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
I know it's a short OT portion. Hopefully you all enjoyed the show on tonight. I apologize about the slight technical issues we're having here a little bit this evening. Join us on next week. We'll make sure we have that taken care of and fixed. Once again, I think if it's okay with Andre, we should be back on our regularly scheduled program on next Tuesday night. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, the same link. Definitely tune in. We're going to recap week two in the NFL, week three in college football, and preview week three in the NFL, week four in college football on next Tuesday. So we'll have some exciting information to go along with our show on next week. It'll be more football, people. Good night.
good night. We appreciate, as always, you guys tuning in. Like I said, Rob, good game. I'm not going to rub anything else for you, but it was phenomenal. But we'll go ahead and get out of here to avoid any other technical difficulty. We'll see you guys, as Rob said, next Tuesday, unless otherwise noted. Make sure that you follow us on social media via Twitter, 12 Man Sports, as well as Talking Sports with 12 Men, or if you put in 12 Man Sports, you'll find us in any means. But anyway, good show, Rob. Have a good evening, sir, and we'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.